it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's therapy time here on this Friday afternoon. Hour number three, Darren, Donick, and Chase. It's time for you to release whatever's been pent up in you all week about someone or something, and put them on the list. This is the naughty list. This is the bad list. Last segment, that was the good list. That was the rich list.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if necessarily good list, just the rich list. This is who's made you mad. Who's made you mad? Who or what has made you mad? 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The best, you just made the list, $25 gift card. The Tin Roof. That's what's on the line for You Just Made the List. Who would like to start?
Willie?
Not all at once. All right, I'll start. Nobody's going to jump in there. My observations, everything is getting back to normal. Got the email yesterday. The city parks in Smyrna, they are opening up as of today. So they have open back up the ball fields and everything. Everything is opening back up. And my opinion, that is a really good thing. But we need to continue to be safe. This is not over. Just things, because things are opening back up, because we're trying to return to a little bit of normalcy here, doesn't mean like we should just forget about the last 2.5 months. And I've got to be honest, going around this week and seeing everybody, I get it. Everybody's in a good mood. The temperatures are climbing up. It's nice. Hey, Monday's going to be June. Everybody's kind of feeling it, right? And, oh, by the way, things are opening right back up. Most everything now is getting really, really close to getting back in order. By the way, the Texas governor yesterday said, you know what? Okay, 25% capacity. They're talking about they're going to have crowds, their sporting events in the state of Texas. And others are starting to say that as well. But let's just all keep in mind that let's still be safe about this. Let's all not pretend that it's over. Opening things back up doesn't mean this is over. It's not over. And it just feels and looks a little too loose out there. My observation. Not casting a net over every area, over the country, over the state, where I've traveled out and about this week. A lot of traffic is picking up. Business is picking up. All those are good things, business especially. But let's not get too loose here. Let's keep in mind. Let's try to be smart about this. Let's not get back to where we just came from. So just all the people that out there that just a little too loose. I got to be honest. Yesterday had, Chase, what you did 2 Fridays ago. Had that happen. And I had to turn around and just kind of give the look of, I need you to back up. Okay, I need you to back off. You don't have a mask on. You clearly don't care. And you're right up on me. I need you to back up. Like everybody else in this line. Do you see what everybody else is doing in this line? I need you to back up. I don't think she appreciated it, but I didn't appreciate what she was doing. So there you go. Getting a little too loose. Okay, I'm not seeing mask at all. It's. I feel like it's going the other direction. And I think a lot of people are thinking, well, okay, since everything's open back up, we're in the clear. We're done. So let's just keep that in mind. Let's not get back to where we just came from. So those people that are a little too loose right now.
You just made the list.
I think that's a very, very good one and well said.
I think we should say that every day, honestly. We just have to keep pounding that in to people, that if we want to move forward, and who doesn't? Everybody wants to move forward. Got to be smart. It's pretty simple.
Willie, yeah, you I was can disappointed go, and then I have week. Too.
All right. My list. He's a guy that's been on the list before, and he's
Stanley.
On it again.
Stanley.
He is kind of a guy, but he's a cat guy. I'm going to go with Scott Boris.
Scott boo.
Boris. Guy.
Boo. Scott Boras.
As usual, Scott Boras doesn't get it. He's always so extreme. Got to win, got to dominate. You know, I don't know what motivates him.
Money.
But he
That's what motivates
he
him.
He sent
Money.
An email. Sent an email to his clients, and it was obtained by the Associated Press, of course. I don't know if he intended it for it to get out or not. Probably not, but he should have known when he sent it that this chance happened. Remember, games cannot be played without you. Players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. Let owners take some of their record revenues and profits from the past several years and pay you the prorated salaries you agreed to accept. Or let them borrow against the asset values they created from the use of those profits players generated. In a nutshell, is he completely wrong? No! But you can't do that. You can't take this hard line right now. This is not a time for hard lines, right? And I would hope, I would say the same thing to the owners, right? This shouldn't be a time that the owners draw a hard line. Can we have a conversation where we trust each other? There's a partnership, and you work something out here. Scott Boras is not helping the process here. You only have about 3 or 4 more days to do this and stay on time before this really has ramifications. So Scott Boras, as usual.
You just made the list!
I don't know if he's ever off the list. So he didn't really just make the list. He's just been on the list.
Yeah. All right, my turn. And I have 2, and I'll go fast. Number one, last week I decided that I was going to dip my toe in the water a little bit. And
Your
I
pool
went
opened?
No, not the pool. The oh. you know, just, you know, I went in a restaurant and I decided, I'm going to sit, going to check it out. Had my mask with me, all that. But I'm leaving and I'm walking to my car in the parking lot and I noticed there are 2 people, because this is one of those parking lot that for multiple businesses. And there are a couple people that are, they have SUVs and they're just kind of sitting in the back of their SUVs, almost having like a little tailgate. I don't know if they worked around there and they were on break or what they were doing. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And they're not the ones that are on the list. Well, how they were parked and where I was parked, there's a little bit of space in between all the vehicles, but not a lot. And like I said, these 2 people are sitting in the back of their SUVs, so legs hanging out. Well, all of a sudden, I hear a motorcycle start up, and dude is on his motorcycle and just decides to fly through this very small gap in between all the vehicles with the 2 people sitting on the back of their cars, and they kind of look like, what the heck just happened? Like, what was the point of that? If he doesn't time it right or he's off by a little bit, big accident that's going to hurt him and other people. So that's number one. That guy, for being an idiot, is on the list.
You just made the list!
Because I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? What is this guy doing? Now, the second one, as you guys know, I am a man of integrity. And I believe that when you do something wrong, you should admit it and come to terms with it. But I think self-reporting is important. And I had a violation this morning on the rundown, and I am here to self-report and put myself on the list. Because a few weeks ago, I was a part of giving Willie a very hard time about just throwing in the towel and conceding on his poll with his high school and being the best basketball player. And he said, Austin Rivers has got me. He's going to win. And Darren and I just wore him out.
I didn't say he's going to win. I said he should win.
He should win. Well, you did, but you conceded. And Darren and I just wore you out on it. Well, coming up tonight at 6, we're doing Game Night Live on Facebook Live. And, Willie, you're going to be a part of this with Pete Weber on commentary.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed that all the technology works here.
Yeah, we're hoping. And Ryan and I are going to compete in a virtual baseball game on MLB The Show on PlayStation. And admittedly, I'm not very good at it. Ryan is. And I said this morning, because Ryan started a little trash talking, like, yeah, you're probably going to win. And as soon as I said that, I was like, Chase, what are you doing?
Loser mentality.
Like, what are you doing? I had people tweet in, like, Terry Crisp would be very disappointed in you, and he would, and he should be. And I, later in the show, I said, you know what? That is the wrong mentality for me to have. I'm very upset with myself that I had that, and I need to bring this up with Darren and Willie later on, because they would be disappointed, and they should be. So I am admitting my wrong. I'm putting myself on the list, and I am going to give everything I have against Ryan tonight on a virtual baseball game. But I just want you to know I'm disappointed in me, and I'm on the list.
You just made the list!
By the way, Stan Petkavich, for all of you Auburn basketball fans, upset Austin Rivers in the final. And I shouldn't say that. They were both one seeds, but I was kind of glad to see it. So Stan Petkavich, who played in the NBA, was really responsible for connecting CM Newton to me. So without Stan Petkavich, I probably wouldn't be here, because I wouldn't have ever come to Vanderbilt. You think about these things, you can, you know, why are you where you are today? What decisions were made? So he beat Austin Rivers in that in the thing. I lost to Austin Rivers in the Final Four, and Stan Petkavich beat Austin Rivers in the final. For all you Winter Park Wildcat fans out there, now you know the rest of the story.
There you go. Closure on that bracket.
Closure.
Chase, the greatest enemy of best is good. If you're willing to accept good, you'll never be the best. Be better than that, okay? Come on.
Thanks, Coach.
No loser mentality. That was. Well, I'm glad you caught yourself. Thanks
I
for
did.
Self-reporting.
I did.
All right, we'll come back. Integrity. We've got people on lines that want to weigh in and tell us who was on their list. 615-737-1025. We will do that on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 1025, The Game. Chase on the guitars, bringing us back from break. You just made the list, 615-737-1025. Who or what is on your list? We've got a gift card, the tin roof on the line, but we need your participation. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Ben. Who or what is on your list?
What's going on, guys? Hope you're doing well.
We are. Hope Thanks, you Ben. Are, too.
Thank you. Thank you. I got two people, two groups of people that made the list. The first one, you guys kind of already touched base upon. It's all these people that have been on lockdown for the 6 to 7, 8 weeks now, and all of a sudden things are reopening and they're getting back on the road, and these jabronis forgot how to drive. All of these people made the list. Because if you forgot how to drive and you sucked at driving before, stay the frick back home, because we didn't have all these accidents until you jabronis got back on the road. That's number one. Number two, there's a bunch of people that work at one of these home improvement stores that I won't name, but they rhyme with O's, okay? And all the people that work there, they set up this whole curbside delivery program where you order the product online, and then you go there, you call the number, and you pick it up. Well, it doesn't work. There was 30 of us had to go inside of this big old store when we were trying to stay away from each other because they couldn't get their act together to do the curbside delivery. And then when you go into the store, all their employees are wearing masks on their chins, not even covering their noses. And so when I made a stink about it all, they tell me that the manager knows about it, but he's not going to do anything about it because it's above his pay grade. What? So that whole store made the list.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's really bad.
I love this guy. This guy always has multiple people on the list. That it's all, they're all good. There's no drop-off. I think that's good stuff.
Ben
that,
is a
that
tough
is, that
to
is
follow.
A great one. Tell me you have, I know, tell me you have not, by the way, if you want to try to follow that act, we recommend it. 737-1025. Keep them coming. But have we not all seen this guy? This is the don't be that guy wearing the mask, but wearing it around your neck and not yep. having it cover your face. Like, I get it. You pull it down for a minute. Like if you're walking along the sidewalk, you walk out of the store, you're on your way to your car. I get that. But if you're in the place that you're supposed to have the mask on and you have it pulled around your neck, like, what are you doing?
And they're not clearly just taking a breath or something. Yeah. They're just pulling it down to like basically, you know, not have the mask on their face. Yeah, we've all seen that. Kind of defeats the purpose.
Come on, you're almost there. You got the mask. That's better than a lot of people, but put it on.
What kind of answer is that with the home improvement store? What kind of answer is that? Yeah, manager knows.
That's above my pay grade.
Hey,
man.
It's all above his pay grade. He knows. He's good.
It's not a big deal. It's only a pandemic. What?
Not exactly what customers want to hear. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. First of all, I got one. It's going to be all those people out there that says sports are going to be done. Sports are never coming back. Well, guess what? Gary Bettman and NHL just proved you all wrong. He's got this whole plan planned out, and it's going to go through. And the other thing, and the second person is, if my wife and I decide to take our daughter out to the park at Centennial and eat lunch, don't roll down your window and be the idiot and yell coronavirus out your window when we're sitting at a table that's about 12 feet away from the next person. Use
really?
Some common sense.
Wow. Wow. That just happened today?
That happened about a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Wow. All right.
He just rolled his window down and yelled out coronavirus?
Yeah.
That's it?
That was it?
Okay.
Yeah. And just kept driving off.
And you said you were there with your wife?
My wife and my daughter.
So your family is
come on.
In the park together, which you've been quarantined
just, come
together.
Come on now.
Yep,
on.
Eating lunch.
Oh, boy. Anything else, Ryan?
Nah, that's good.
Hey, good stuff. Hope you
good
feel better.
You,
have
Ryan.
A great weekend.
You too.
Wow.
I mean,
I guess that's silly.
The person was trying to do the right thing, but a little bit misguided, I guess.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, I'll tell you what, we're off to a good start.
This is good.
These are very list worthy for sure.
Can I read a text real quick?
Sure.
That I just got from, this is to me, Porth can't handle constant verbal abuse. Just hammer him and hammer him with it the whole game and you'll win. That's some great advice.
So a little strategy?
From, yes.
Well, that is good advice, but you know, you'll probably win because I'm not very good is just not a good approach.
It's not. No, and I admitted that.
Okay.
It's not.
Let's go to Doug. Doug always has a good story. Doug, who or what is on your list?
Guys, I hope you're trying to be corona-free and sticking with the dominant theme of today. I've got a little situation with some issues. So, you know, we're hearing wash your hands. Did I say you need to wash your hands to stay out of this virus thing? So the thing that makes my list are the restaurants that have the water time release faucets, limited water flow faucets, and it takes forever for the water to get warm. Any of you guys that still have those faucets, you just made the list. So if I can't wash my hands properly after I've gotten all lathered up, then as a worker, this is what I know. You can't wash your hands properly. I didn't like the time release faucets before coronavirus, and I don't like them now. So come on, restaurants. You've been shut down for 8 weeks. Turn the water on. Fix the doggone faucet. You got me.
Okay, is that it, Doug?
Thanks, Doug.
That's it.
Wow.
Turn the water on.
Actually,
I'm lathered up. I got to keep hitting the button to turn the water on. Finally, I'm out of the notion. And if I'm out of the notion, guess what? As a restaurant worker, you ain't washing your hands either. That's what I know. Turn the water on, man.
Thank you, Doug.
He's got a good point.
Need a little extra. A couple more seconds. Let's
go. For Doug, that was actually.
We have been in that spot, right? The annoying
faucet
that turns off before you. Like, it's one thing to have it turn. It's a good idea, right? So it's nobody forgets to turn it off and you don't waste water, but sometimes that thing's on for like 3 seconds.
And sometimes it doesn't work very well. Like, it's like, well, how many times? What do I have to do to make this water come on? Which is probably where Doug was, his frustration. And you're right. It does have the quick trigger. Like, it goes off too soon. It's like, what do you think? I'm not washing a finger. Come on. I got two hands. What do you want me to do here? Keep the water
going. We're supposed to have 20 seconds here. If we're doing this right, 20 seconds, right?
There we go. David, you're up next. Who or what is on your list?
So this happened Monday. I go to the gas station, and there's this truck that's double parked in front of the gas station. Normally, that's bad enough. Then I walk into the gas station, and right there in the entryway is this guy. He couldn't have been too old. He was old enough to buy beer. But he's standing there, no shoes, no shirt, definitely no mask, and wearing swim trunks of a Confederate flag. So he's just standing there, just chilling, minding his own business. And then he goes up to buy his beer, and he almost dumps it right there in the middle of the gas station. Meanwhile, his truck is double parked outside in front of the gas station. So whoever that guy was, he made the list.
Did he get service?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, boy. Wow. Thank you, David. Have a great weekend. Let's go 615-737-1025. How about Johnson? Johnson, you're up next.
Hello?
Hello. Who's on your list?
Oh, there's Johnson. Yeah. I've got, I don't know if anybody said this, but you know, who makes that list is them two, them three or four cops that killed that fella in Minnesota. They need to be on top of that list. And not only that, is why does it make it right for all them people breaking in them stores? And I've seen a fella running out with a TV under each arm, stealing and robbing. And they, every one of them burning people's places of business down, every one of them needs to make the list.
Yep.
That's Johnson, all I got.
Hey, thank you very much. Tragic, tragic story in Minnesota for sure. I just saw, in fact, that officer was indeed placed in custody here in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, I just saw that.
You guys, I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
Big news, yeah.
But the whole looting, come on. There's better ways to do it than that. Come on. There's better ways to get a message across than affecting. You're affecting, Johnson said, you're affecting somebody else's life.
Sure.
I mean, why would you do that to them? They didn't do anything. Why would you affect them?
Why does you stealing a TV fix anything?
Yeah.
I don't get that either. Very tragic story out of Minnesota. And I don't know if you guys saw the CNN reporter that got arrested on television while doing a report about this. And he's since been released, but because he was in the middle of, you know, trying to report on what's going on. And I guess there was miscommunication or something, but I was blown away by that, watching that.
Yep. Good participation this week. This was good. Good. You just made the list. We've got a tough decision on who we're going to give the gift card to. We'll come back, talk a little baseball with Richard Justice from MLB.com. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Jeff. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Always love talking baseball with our next guest, Richard Justice from MLB.com. You can also find him on MLB Network. We say hello and good afternoon to him. Richard, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Oh, we're fantastic. Before we get into this baseball stuff and where it's going and get your opinion on that, I know just from us talking to you over the years, you've always got a story for everything. You have to have a Michael Jordan baseball story, right? I mean, since we've talked so much about The Last Dance.
Yeah, I spent about a week with him in Chattanooga and Birmingham. And what I remembered is what stood out was how quickly he fit into the culture. In the documentary, he says, I don't have a gambling problem. I have a competition problem. And I saw it every day. He played a round or two rounds of golf in the morning. He came in. He took early batting practice. He then organized card games for his teammates, had lunch catered in, bought them a luxury bus, took regular batting practice, took batting practice after games. I'm one of those that is convinced that if he'd stayed with it, right? He may have always planned to go back to the NBA because it was clear he was exhausted by it, but that he would have played in the major leagues. He just approached things one step at a time. But he was a lot of fun to be in, and he did his damnedest to fit in. Later on, when he was in charge of basketball operations for the Wizards, I was assigned to cover him. I was at the Washington Post at the time, and we're out in the hallway outside the locker room one day, and Rod Strickland walks in, and Michael goes, Rod, and points at his watch. And Rod goes, hey, Mike, I've been on time all day, but my car is running like 40 minutes late. I tell you, though, he was a joy. He was a joy to be around. And I considered it a privilege to get to know him a little bit, and I got to know him a very little bit. But it was fun seeing, you know, he didn't want a silver spoon. He just wanted to be treated like one of the guys, and that's the way he was treated. He demanded that.
So you think he would have made it to the show? How good would he have been?
Yeah, I don't think he would have been, you know, Christian Yelich or Cody Bellinger, because the clock was ticking on him. But you think about it. That guy walked in off the street, not having played baseball for how long? 20 yeah. years? I don't know. And he didn't embarrass himself at Double A, and he was getting better. Now, they started out throwing fastballs fine, and then they switched to curveballs and changeups, and he was adjusting game by, bit by bit. And those guys, Terry Francona and the hitting coach Mike Barnett, they'll all tell you, like, eventually he was going to make it because he was just one of those guys that never entered his mind, I'm going to fail. And that's a big part of it. And you take a guy that's playing on the highest level, and then this is true of Tim Tebow too, and he's willing to risk embarrassing himself at something that he has, very little background in. And I remember in spring training I was with him, he was just soaking up the knowledge from the veteran guys. What about this? What about that? But what I remember most of all is how the guys liked him.
Well, we're talking about the minors. Yep. Where's this going with the minor league system? How much trouble is it in long term?
Yeah, let's set aside now. This has nothing to do with the shutdown regarding the pandemic. About 2 years ago, one of the first things Rob Manfred did is when he became commissioner 5 years ago, he said, we're going to put everything on the table in terms of what's the best way to have the game, what's best for the game. And he put some of the progressive teams, Ray, I'm barnstorming here, Astros, Brewers, Orioles, Rays may have been involved. Let's study minor league baseball and figure out what's best for it. And what they came back with is, A, we have too many teams. B, we're drafting too many players. Too many of the facilities are substandard. It's embarrassing, and you don't want to put your players in those facilities. And the travel is ridiculous. Like, if you look at the standings of the Pacific Coast League, you travel basically coast to coast. That's ridiculous. And so what they're going to do is just start over and say, we're going to draft fewer players. We're going to have fewer teams. We're going to pay the players better. We're going to treat them better. But in conjunction with this, and you say, well, Mike Piazza, a 52nd round draft pick, wouldn't have a chance. Yes, he would. Because there, for every team, every city that loses a team, there will be independent league teams. And like, I live in Houston, one of the suburban areas, Sugar Land, has an independent team that's been pretty successful. And in fact, it has a great ballpark, and I think it's now going to be the Astros AAA franchise. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's in the drawing board because it would make more sense for it. So, but the point is if you have a representative ballpark, there's going to be a plan to get you a team. You just won't be an affiliated team. And players do come out of the affiliated teams. David Peralta, who's a star in Arizona, he washed out as a pitcher and had to come back through the independent leagues and make it that way. So it's going to be a completely different way of doing it, but ideally it's a more efficient way. The reason people are so upset is, well, we've always had a team, we deserve a team, and baseball never did it this way before. That's not a good reason. It's looking at what is the best way to run a minor league system and to run a draft. You know, if you get – basically, somebody told me this last night. I'm not sure this is true. Like, if you basically draft three players, and if you get two players out of one draft, you've had a hell of a draft. Now, you know, I would say to that, Paul Goldschmidt, I think, was an 8th-round pick, Matt Carpenter, 11th round, Alan Craig, 13th round, all those guys. Like, you want those guys to have a chance, too. But that's it. It's just the game is being reshaped, and this is part of the reshaping. But I would say, if anybody tells you, oh, yeah, that guy won't get a chance to play anymore, that's not right. Everybody that can play and has a will to play, there is still going to be a path to the big leagues. It will just be different.
Talking to Richard Justice, MLB.com correspondent. You see him on MLB Network all the time. Richard, it's an interesting take. I guess I hadn't thought about it in those terms, and it hits me hard because I was fortunate enough to play a couple years at those low minor league levels,
right.
And I have great stories to tell for my whole life, people that nobody's ever heard of, but just great stuff. And so I do think, though, that Will there be a price? I guess I'll ask this as a question. Will there be a price to pay for baseball if you have a lot of these teams in these towns that have been there for generations that are no longer there as we know them? Isn't there a, even though it may not be a great financial play economically, investment-wise, isn't there a value big time for the game and a marketing investment that they will no longer have if they're not affiliated with teams?
Well, I think even the people that run minor league baseball will tell you there are markets that don't deserve a team because they've let the stadium just disintegrate to the point that it's not safe for the players, or it's not what it should be. And the other part of that is surveys have shown, and baseball has surveyed deeply, is that if you've got a team in your town, you really don't care if it's affiliated or not. You know, I mean, Syracuse has always been affiliated for as long as I can remember with the Blue Jays. And if you have an independent league team, you still got baseball in your town, and you still got guys that are going to have a chance to play. That's the way I see it. But I think more than that, it's just what is the most efficient way to run this thing? Have we been doing what's best for our franchises? And I think the answer is it's time for some changes.
Well, I hope it works out well because, of course, we all want to see the game succeed on all levels. Richard, let's get to the task at hand here, the negotiations, all the posturing, the stuff that's getting out that I guess we've become privy to. The part of it is just negotiations, right? You're going to have some back and forth. You're going to have maybe some animosity. Can we get it all worked out by Monday, or are you worried?
No, there's too much. I'm not worried about losing the season. There's too much risk on both sides. But you do have to understand, I hope people understand, they say, well, the NHL is back. The NBA is moving gradually toward a plan to come back. Those players already made all their money for this season. And the postseason is where the management makes money. In baseball, nobody's collected a check. And there's an unbelievable amount of pain. You know, baseball had $10.7 billion in revenues last year. What's the revenues going to be this year? Even if you ask the players to take a 50% pay cut, there you can box the numbers any way you want to. The loss would be between $2 billion and $4 billion. How much of that pain should the players accept? How much more of the pain? How much should the pain be for owners and all of that? And basically, it's about wrestling with the numbers. Baseball has a long history of doing its collective bargaining in a very public setting. When I would cover, 84, 89, 94, all the years I covered baseball labor, 2002, I believe, was the other one. And you would, it was all public. And the players would be public about it. You'd go to the commissioner's office at the end of the day, sit down with him. You'd go to the union office, sit down with them, and everybody would blast everybody else. Was it the best look for the sport? I wouldn't say it was, but I do say collective bargaining is an honorable endeavor. So the only thing that would worry me is that nothing gets done until we're up against the deadline. And baseball said 25 years of labor peace. But what is the deadline? I mean, I thought today was the deadline, but to get the sport up and going on the 4th of July, we got to do it fast. And, you know, what always happens in these deals, at least for the last 25 years, is there's no chance of making a deal until we make a deal in the last hour and everybody comes, shakes hands and comes out. Literally, the last labor negotiation, it was, I guess, 4 years ago, they were meeting in Irving, Texas. And, I mean, some of the players that I know, like Paul Goldschmidt and those guys, they were very tight-lipped, very like, oh, my gosh, this is tough. And then, like 2 hours later, you hear them cheering in a meeting, and they come out high five, and it's over. We reached an agreement, and that I believe that's what's going to happen again. But this is tough here because we're in waters that we've never been in before. On the other hand, what's the price of at a time when unemployment? We've got 100,000 dead. We've got how many people unemployed? 40 million something. To lose a season over money, especially when you can get ratings that are through the roof because people are so craving something to do that feels normal. The price for losing a season would be pretty high, and I think both sides at the end of the day will understand that. But we're following a familiar path. We're screaming at each other now, and then at some point you make a deal.
Richard Justice is with us from MLB.com. I had a conversation with Tom Glavine a couple of weeks ago when this was all kind of starting, and obviously he was in the middle of things, remembers 94, 2002. I mean, he's been through these negotiations, and his insight on it was very useful. And he made it a point to say, you know, I'm not in there, I'm not privy to this information, but from what I see from the outside, it's obviously a different time and a different situation than what we went through in 94 and 95 that you know, is so talked about. And since, you know, the labor peace has happened since then. And he brought up the fact that the players need to have this thought process of you're probably not going to get paid your full salary because of everything going on and being a reduced season. But at the same time, they have every right to ask the questions about health. They have every right to be weary of a 50-50 split, because can they come back from that? So right. do you agree with that way of thinking? And do you think that this is something that if they do have to agree to a 50-50 split or what have you, they would be able to come back from it? Or are they going down a road they can't come back from?
Well, let me first say, Tom Glavine is one of the people that saved the negotiations in 2002. We were headed for another work stoppage, and Tommy was one of the guys. There might have been a couple others that flew in and just said, I mean, it was dawn. Like, I remember at a Starbucks in Manhattan at 6 a.m., I saw an NFL official that I knew, an executive. What are you doing here? I said, pointed across the street. I said, baseball labor. And he goes, are they still doing that? He said it in such a condescending way. But I would say it's honorable. And Tommy's one of the guys that came in and said, we cannot have a repeat of 94 and 95. I think I agree with everything he said in that regard. I from the beginning, I thought this is going to be settled by, can we get to the point where the players feel safe? On the other hand, if you're negotiating now the money, that tells me you've reached a point where you think you can come to the health and safety issues on that. One of the compromises the union apparently is willing to discuss is players will take their 50% pay cut and no more, but they will agree to defer the salaries. Now that upsets some agents who are saying, now wait a minute, we're probably in for a nuclear winter anyway in terms of payrolls and free agency and all that. So if we roll forward deferred money, does that mean that Mookie Betts is going to get even less, that George Springer is going to get even less? Everything is connected to every other little thing, and there's so many moving targets. But they are talking, they're in regular communication, and, you know, and then people say, you know, I see all these columns, and I hear people say, it's a bad look. You got to fix it. Well, that's fine. But we're dealing with billions of dollars. Just God is not going to come down and settle this. That this is men got into this situation, and men have to solve it, men and women. And it's just finding a number that both sides feel they can live with. It's not that simple. Everybody says, just settle it. Just do it. I mean, both sides want to just do it, but they want to do it on their terms.
Richard, you brought up ratings earlier and how they could have a possible win in that. And the only examples that I have right now are NASCAR, and they've seen an uptick in their ratings because they're one of the only games in town, and then the match last weekend. So how much do you think the owners and the players look at that data to know that, hey, we have an opportunity here if we want to come back July 4th weekend and people don't have any sports to attend? I mean, how much do you think they're paying attention to that?
I think they know they would have the stage almost to themselves. They could have the stage almost to themselves. And I think, like what you mentioned, NASCAR and some golf, but I look at the ratings for the Jordan documentary. People were craving something other than cable news. and I just think, you know, the idea, I told somebody the other day, I said, the idea of watching a Clippers-Lakers playoff game, geez, I would pay $20 to see it on my TV, and I think that's the appeal. You get the sport that we miss so much. I mean, I've watched so many of these classic games. I mean, I was like pounding the desk the other day watching a Yankees-Rays playoff game from the last game of the season, and I knew how it came out. Oh, by the way, I've watched the Texas-USC National Championship game about 5 times, and my wife told me, she said, stop tapping your foot. I said, they're down 12 or 4 minutes ago. They can't win.
Did that really happen?
We've
Richard.
Seen this movie before.
Like you still go back and go, wait a minute, what if he had given the ball to somebody other than Lindell White? Whoa.
There's a lot of what ifs, boy. That is fun.
Yeah, that's Pete Carroll's cross to bear, not mine.
Yeah. As we wrap this up, it was good to see Art Hell get released from the hospital, as of course he tested positive for COVID-19.
One of the true nice guys. You say I got a story for everything. I got a quick story on Art Hell. He and another couple are out in the wine country, and they stopped in at this winery run by a little old guy, and they said it was the worst wine ever. It was terrible. And Art felt so bad that he bought a case of it. I think he heard me tell the story on TV or radio or something. I see him like a month later or something. He goes, hey, just to be clear, I did drink that wine. That's Art. He's one of those guys that if you knew him, you played with him, you played for him, you like him. And here in Houston, he was a big part of Astros teams that were really good. He was a successful manager, and he ushered in two guys named Biggio and Bagwell that were pretty influential for both the city and the franchise.
Yeah, they were kind of a big deal. Hey, always a pleasure. You continue to be safe. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, same to you guys. Thank you.
All right, that is Richard Justice. He is so much fun to talk to. MLB.com, MLB Network is where you can find his work. He's been covering the game of baseball for a long, long time, decades and decades. And as you just heard, basically has a story on everything. Pretty good insight there on a lot of fronts, especially talking about the minor league system that we've talked about today.
Yeah, I take that. I really had not considered. I do hope that is the intent, is to reshape it for the better, but I am a little skeptical. I think Richard has a little bit more optimism. Maybe I have a little bit more heartfelt attachment to the system that's been there. I will admit, and you know, this is kind of a tradition. Like when you go from playing in the SEC, which I did, and you get thrown into the low level of Class A, you do run across some fields and some parks and some facilities where you're like, are you kidding me? Like not just, you know, the infield's not quite as nice, which is the case, but like, okay, guys, here's where you're going to shower after the game before you get on the bus. And you're like, you're not serious, are you? Where are the real showers? It is pretty bad. But it's kind of like a badge of honor after a while. It does test your mettle, your love of the game. And that could use a lot of help, right? But it's almost like that is part of it. So I like the idea of let's do this a different way, but let's not lose the benefits of what happens as a result of the love of the game in these towns, even if it's not the prettiest place. So I would love to meet him halfway. I just hope it doesn't go away. It sounds to me, though, that there is a cost-cutting measure to this. And if it's like, well, there'll just be an independent league. Well, who runs the independent league? You know, and can they make money off of that? How much do the players make? You know, being tied to a team, there is a system, I think, that has worked over time. I'd love to study this. I hope it works out well. But that was a really, really interesting angle by Richard there.
Got to make money. I mean, he's just...
Yeah, so somebody, it's a business. Somebody's got to run the business, right?
So...
Like, could there be a great Nashville independent league or a Middle Tennessee independent league in the absence of single-A baseball? For example, if the Bowling Green Class A league no longer exists, could Bowling Green have a team? Murfreesboro has a team. Huntsville has a team. I'm just thinking out loud of, you know, a regional place where you could run an independent league. Would people go out and support teams like that in those towns, and you could have a good equivalent of Class A baseball. And the players make enough money to keep it going, and maybe I'll get signed by the Mets or the Indians or the Braves.
I think it's extremely difficult.
It'll be hard to start up, but if that's the desire of enough people, that's what I worry about is the players are going to want to play, right? I have plenty of college teammates who are like, hey, I want to play, man. I just got to find a place to play. I'll go to Evansville. I'll go to Bowling Green. You tell me where I go. I'll give me a uniform and I'll play. But somebody's got to be providing the business.
Yeah, and if it's the business is losing money, you know, at some point. The accountant looks at the business owner and says, here's what you're facing. And you're either just going to keep sinking or you're going to pull the plug and get out from underneath this. Because there's a lot of red all over the place on these books. And you open up these books, there's a lot of red. And that's no good, right?
I mean, no, not at all.
And so I just think it's an extreme. That's why I said at the beginning of the show today. I mean, think about it. There is no other model like this in sports.
Right.
It is the only sport that has this.
Baseball should still want it to preserve.
Oh, I think they do embrace parts of that. But you have to make money. Yeah. That's the point. I mean, I think they do embrace it. That's the reason it's been around for so long. And as Richard said, and you even said, it's been on life support. It's been in dire straits for a long time. Unfortunately, this has kind of given them the reason.
But it also thrives. If you do it right, I can give you plenty of examples of a small town that built a good park. Bowling Green's a good example. That they have a nice place to watch a game. And if you build a nice place and you run a good program, people are going to come out there. And you do make money. At least I would have to think they do in a lot of places.
Do you know that? I mean, I don't know that. Do you know that? I don't know.
I think there are a lot of places making
money. Is Bowling Green what, single A?
Yeah, they're Class A.
Yeah,
I can't tell you that I know, but I do think that there are great success stories of places that have built a nice facility. I would like to know what has gone on in Jackson, Tennessee, with the Double A facility that they have. I think we know what has happened Triple A wise in Nashville with the building of our new park here. There's been an uptick, right?
I'm not concerned about Double A and Triple A. I'm concerned about everything below.
Single A. Yeah, no, you're right. Below. Because that's where it's going to hit. That's where the change is probably going to come. So, for example, the tennis team at a given university, as great as it might be, let's say it's Georgia or UCLA or Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's had a great women's tennis program. I would venture to say they're not making money, but somebody along the line thinks it's worth the investment to have scholarship women's tennis, even though year after year they're not going to make money. So baseball, for year after year, they fund minor league players down seven levels, right? That's something that a minor league player walks in, they look on all these fields at spring training. I remember looking, okay, I got to beat out all of these first basemen. And I look down the list: John Olerud, Toronto; Chris Wenke, Knoxville. I mean, just right on down the line. There's seven first basemen that I have to beat out. How am I going to make it? So I get that maybe you don't need seven teams, but there's a reason why the best players emerge, and the game is what it is. And part of it is the investment they make in all the players, however small. And what's the residual effect of people following baseball and having a team to root for and keep an eye on, even though maybe you're not making a lot of money at those levels?
I think all these sports would benefit greatly from having long, extensive minor league pipeline. But it's just hard to – the business model shows them that it's all you're doing is losing money. So these leagues would love to do it, but unfortunately, it's a really, really difficult thing to make money off of. And so that's why you don't see this long, extensive pipeline of the minors in the other sports. Baseball has the longest, mm-hmm. and I think that's about to go away, or at least some levels of it. By the way, we had Steve Moulton on in the second hour down in Huntsville. At the time, they were around 464,000. Currently, they've just gone over 492,000, so they're inching ever so closely to their goal of trying to keep that Chargers hockey team and program alive. We will come back and start the fourth and final hour with some trivia, some Friday trivia next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.